There are two scriptures that have come to my mind the past few days that have helped to inform some of our decisions in what are really uncharted waters, specifically at least uncharted waters. The obvious one is Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Now that command, as you probably know, was given to believers, Christians, who under severe persecution and with all kinds of adversity, it wasn't easy in that time, in that place, in that day to go to church and assemble. But in the midst of all of that, they nevertheless knew the value and the biblical call of assembling together as believers, and especially so on the Lord's Day. In addition to that, I'm also reminded of 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. In other words, in this world that is filled with the spirit of fear and a sense of powerlessness, God's people have a different heritage, don't we? And hi, Joe. Good to see you, brother. I know you're here. God bless you. And we have a different perspective. We do have a power and a love and a boldness that defies the spirit of these times. However, included with that boldness and that love, God says, is a sound mind. The Greek word is there is one word, sophronizo. It means prudent. In fact, it literally means self-disciplined. In other words, it's not a reckless or careless lack of fear. It is a wise and circumspect and sensible lack of fear. Sound mind is included with that boldness. So that means this. That means that when you look at a text like Hebrews 10:25, you see how early believers obeyed a text like Hebrews 25, and they did so with courage. And they did so with grace, and they did so with a sound mind. Now, this sound mind is not something that you see in the world. You don't see it now. You didn't see it 6 months ago. You didn't see it 6 centuries ago. Fear and prudence, sound mind, another word for that is prudence. Fear and prudence never go together, do they? You see someone with 12 gallons or 15 gallons of milk in a shopping cart for two people that expires in 2 weeks, that's not prudence, that's just fear. Right? It just doesn't make sense. Well, our prayer tonight is that we all, as God's people, show forth both our faith and our love, because God has given that to us. Not the spirit of fear, but of faith, power, sound mind, love. Because no matter what the circumstances, God has given this to us. Power, love, sound mind. So therefore, we are not instantly forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Just willingly, all right, no church. As the manner of some is. I'm not judging anybody. I mean, we know some churches, right, that have already shut down every single service. I got a call from one of our former members. He said, Pastor, you won't believe it. Every church in this town, the Southern Baptist town, said no church until the end of April. Just no assembling, in other words. Now, neither, therefore, are we going to be reckless and careless, and hopefully without a sound mind. The question, of course, is how do you do that? How do you know what to do and therefore what not to do and obey God and be responsible and a good testimony and so forth? That's, beloved, why you ask God for wisdom. I hope you have been. I surely have been begging for it. It's why you ask for wisdom. It's also why you trust his promises. And then you don't live in fear. As a pastor, I know from the past, hurricanes, power outages, big building programs, 9/11. I know as a pastor, it is impossible to please everyone. If I shake hands after church on Sunday, some folks will say that I'm irresponsible and careless. If I don't shake hands on Sunday, someone will say I'm faithless and uncaring and don't have a heart. I mean, I can't please everybody. Here's the good news. The good news is I don't have to please everyone. I only have to please God. I only have to please one person. That simplifies it for me. But I have to love everyone. I don't have to like everybody. That's a good part about that scripture. I have to love everyone. In the Bible, there are examples of leaders in that nation taking drastic measures. In Leviticus 13, lepers who were contagious basically lived in exile. Exile. In Leviticus 14, if a house had the crud, all kinds of things were quarantined, as you know. They'd scrub that thing, keep it out, clean it. And they did it for the health of everyone else. Now, you know what that is? That's just prudence. Now, you said, well, God was a miracle-working God. He opened the Red Sea for them. This is the same people. He did these great miracles and sent the plagues on their behalf. Couldn't he just kill the crud with a miracle? Of course. But God is leading this nation as he would a shepherd and sheep. And so he tells us to use prudence. This is all through the Bible. And we want to be prudent and at the same time be faithful. You see, that crud in Leviticus, though it called for quarantine and all kinds of, we've preached on it in the past, as you may, mold and mildew removal was the title of the sermon. And all kinds of protocols were set in place. But that didn't completely halt the people from serving God, from marching, from meeting in the tabernacle. So far, our governor has mandated three things. Not the president. Now, the president of the United States can suggest things. He can recommend things. And he has recommended. No groups of 10 or more. It's one of his recommendations. But federal powers are limited, as you know. Our governor has the authority to do precisely what he has done. And that includes closing schools until April the 15th. He's closed all bars and nightclubs for 30 days. I know Remo's sad, but the rest of us are very grateful. And then, of course, he's limited restaurants. He hasn't closed restaurants. He's limited them to 50% capacity, which apparently is what now has happened in New York. But not in other places. Other places just shut them all down completely, as you know. And same with churches have to be under the 10 in Wisconsin. I've had so many pastors call me. I've met with pastors this week, including today and yesterday. And in Wisconsin, they've said no groups of 10 or more can gather, including churches. So this dear brother has some tough issues. He has a school, college, and a church. And so our governor has issued these measures. Now, will they help a lot? Will they help a little? I don't know, and honestly, they don't know, do they? They've admitted that they don't know. Nobody's certain about it. However, what is certain is that our responsibility as Christians is to be good citizens. We know that's true from the New Testament. I'm not going to preach or teach on that. We've done that innumerable times. And as good citizens, we do want to try and help accommodate what health officials want to do, mitigate the bigger bubble, as they say, flatten the bubble, as health officials seem to indicate. And we have always gone by what health officials have suggested, in the same way that authorities in Leviticus had health issues mandated on the people. This building is full of codes that we abided by. The kitchen over there, the water, our water plant, all of this. It's nothing new. I mean, when we had a hurricane and there were lines, electrical lines in the road the next day, and so they said, there's a curfew. We didn't say, no, we must not obey God rather than men. We didn't say that. We said, okay, we are going to abide by those health ideas and sometimes rules and laws. But again, we also do want to obey God rather than men so that we can live a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. You do realize that that's what that prayer, we are commanded to pray for those in authority so that we can live a good and peaceable life and all in quietness and honesty so that we can be good Christians. That's how you send the gospel out. The decisions we've made so far are based upon what we know about the virus, not what we think or guess or wonder, but what they know and we know about this virus and what the authorities have mandated so far through the lens of what God has always admonished us. We're not just going to throw away everything that the Lord says about trusting him and about do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. We're going to look through that lens at being prudent and of a sound mind without fear. So temporarily, obviously this is temporarily, we have made the changes that you have possibly read in our media communications. Now we have Facebook and Instagram and other things, and on that we have an announcement. Some of you haven't seen it. I know that because tonight you said, Pastor, you know, is there church Sunday? But it's all there, and I asked them to print out the page and put it in the back, so go get that. And again, these are temporary. It could change tomorrow, depending on the situation. Basically, when you read it, you'll see that there's, for this coming Sunday, and for every Sunday until you hear differently, there won't be Sunday school, junior church, children's church, nurseries, and Awana. Now you say, Pastor, why that? Explain that. Okay. Kids are kids. And you cannot expect little ones not to spit and slobber and drool and lick. Some of our teenagers still drool, as you know. The ones in the second row right there, all those guys right there. So, you know, it's hard to tell kids. Now, kids, here are the rules. You have to do this and social distancing and don't touch this. It's impossible. So, obviously, without any services and nurseries for children, we will automatically arrive at the Governor DeSantis rule of 50% for restaurants. We're not a restaurant. We do abide by almost the exact same health rules as every restaurant. And then we will easily make possible that social distancing of the assembly this coming Sunday morning. That's why we're going to keep the overflows open Sunday morning. We don't need to keep them open. We won't need to. But we will, just for people who want to spread out. Basketball's called off on Tuesday nights, and all the sports, for obvious reasons, people sweat. And Mike Chung, you know, fouls people with his hands and his elbows. Meeting and assembling on Sunday morning is doable. Now, I know some of you who are watching right now and listening to me are horrified that we're still meeting, that we're meeting tonight. I know you are, because you've let me know. It's doable. And it's doable in a way that's a good testimony, but also obeys God. If you're elderly or at risk with some kind of low immunity, you've had tuberculosis in the past, if you are not feeling well, if you have babies, we don't have a nursery. If you have toddlers and kids with runny noses, stay home. If you think that it's right to stay home, that the right thing to do is to stay home until this thing passes, then stay home. Nobody's going to judge, obviously. But if you have, you know, if you're sick, just be prudent, a sound mind. Don't have fear without a sound mind. And if you do have toddlers or little ones with runny noses, or you have a loud cough and you know in your mind it's just a cold, that's fine. But a sound mind probably says, I don't need to freak people out by coughing on the person in front of me and then just saying, it's just cold, trust me. There's no need for that, right? Sound mind. Sunday mornings will be live streamed, as always. And so if there's 5 people here or 50 people here, it will be live streamed. I'll be preaching, Lord willing. So you can assemble, if you're not at this assembly, you can assemble with your family at home. Bible's open, I would suggest. Bible's open, at home. Have church where 2 or more are gathered together. After church on Sunday morning, and every Sunday until we change this protocol, everything is going to be cleaned and sanitized. In fact, Do you want an email? Do you want me to say, dear valued member of Beacon Baptist Church, as the situation with COVID-19 is dynamic, rest assured that we at Beacon Baptist Church will continue to make proactive decisions grounded in care for our biggest givers, or whatever. I don't know what we'll say, but you don't need the email. By the way, we're not going to pass offering plates. We didn't this past Sunday night, and not tonight, and we won't have to do it Sunday morning. And the reason for that is obvious. I mean, if they're trying to contain the virus, but also just to make other people next to you feel better about it. You know, I saw Sunday morning, like some people were like. So, but having said that, I just will remind you, we don't talk about money from this pulpit. Almost never. But the Lord has blessed us greatly. I preach and teach on giving when we come to a text on giving. But I don't do, you know, buy a brick and build a tree and whatever. And the Lord has blessed. But I will simply remind you tonight, and those of you who are at home and watching, that our missionaries alone require us to give $40,000 a month. That's $10,000 a week first goes to our missionaries. They depend on us. So yes, we'll have plates in the back. We've been set up for online giving. We have the United States Post Office. You can mail it. With our nurseries, without having twos and threes, and then the need to sanitize anything and everything, as the protocols have been handed down and recommended by the CDC and our governor and everybody else for that matter, it will be one service on Sunday. And then everything's going to be cleaned all Sunday and Sunday afternoon and evening. Wednesday night also has no nursery and twos and threes. And for now, what we're going to do on Wednesday night is live stream the beginning of it. So starting next Wednesday night, we're going to basically have a prayer meeting. I'll be speaking for the live stream part. We're going to have a time of prayer and repentance. You know, it's interesting. I've seen a lot of sentimental memes that call for prayer and protection for our country. There was even a National Day of Prayer last Sunday. Did you know that? Anybody know that? National Day of Prayer for protection. But you know, when I read those, I have to tell you, with our country awash in abortion and sodomy and deceit and atheism, what is prayer without repentance and obedience except to ask God to protect our wickedness? Really, is that it? We're going to pray, oh God, protect us and our economy and help us not to get sick, but without asking God for forgiveness and repentance, and that should always begin in the house of God with God's people. So Wednesday night will be a brief live stream. Some Wednesday nights I'll give a brief Bible study, or not a long one, because we're going to focus mostly on prayer. Honestly, it's not going to be live stream, much like our men's prayer meeting or some of the other prayer meetings we've had in the past. And that's just temporary as well, as far as we can tell. And I don't know, I don't expect that there will be a large group there. Teenagers, you're encouraged to come. And we're not going to all get in hands, hold hands, and just get real close and snuggle and pray like that. But you will be able to separate into your groups, and we'll give you more instruction about that next Wednesday. And then finally, let me just say this, as your pastor and your brother in Christ. You know, the testing of this virus is about to go full bore. And what's going to happen with, you know this, I think 90% of you in this room know this, but I'm going to state it anyway. What's going to happen when all of this testing is made available is that the number of people who have the virus is going to skyrocket. It's not that the number of the people are going to get the virus, so it's going to skyrocket. It's that the number of the people who have it are out there, everywhere, thousands and thousands. So what's going to happen is our media, in particular, and others are going to fan that flame and say, see, look what's happened because we haven't done enough of this or that or the other. And when all that's really happened is, look, if you have 100,000 people and only one's been tested, so you have one out of 100,000. But then you say, we're going to test 80,000. And already 40,000 have the virus. So now it's 40,001. People who don't think things with a sound mind, they're going to think, oh my goodness, we're all going to die. But what actually happens when you do all this testing is you find out how many people have it. But then that number of people that, the percentage of people that die because of it starts to go way, 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 way down. And that's not the number that the media will focus on. That's not the number that people will look at and think about. Because that's the one that will help you to have a sound mind. Right? And so, those are our brief thoughts. I have a billion other thoughts. I have a lot of political thoughts. I have a lot of thoughts about things. But they don't really matter. What matters is the Lord, the Scriptures, and our obedience to Him and our trust. And you know, this is an opportunity. One of the things, kids aren't in school, especially the young ones. Nursing homes are shut off. We can't send our visitation groups into nursing homes, our church services in nursing homes. Can you even imagine how alone those people feel right now? So why not, with all the kids at home from school, just make a card, write a card. There's a lot of nursing homes around here. You don't even have to know their names necessarily. If you want to know some of the names of the folks, call the church office. We'll give you specific names and put a stamp on it and mail it and just say, hey, dear friend at the nursing home, my name is, and it would be incredible, the testimony that would be, and the blessing that would be to that person who's been forgotten. And that's just one teeny tiny opportunity. And there are many, many others, of course, that we have.